Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I will reread verses 16 through 18. St. Paul says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." This is our text. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. Every week in that creed, we confess that there are things that are seen and that there are things that are unseen, visible and invisible. Sometimes also the things that are invisible become visible. We can think of something like the Webb Space Telescope that allows us to see things way far out in the universe that we have never seen before. Or an electron microscope that makes things too tiny to see visible to the human eye. And the scriptures tell us as well that even angels, normally invisible to us, have sometimes been seen by the human eye. This much is sure, as we think about things visible and invisible, there's a whole lot more going on around us than meets the eye. There is more happening every day, every moment, than we can possibly see and know. It's true in the physical realm, but it's especially true in the spiritual realm. There are good angels, the angels of God, and they are protecting and fighting for us, though invisible to us. And there are the evil angels, the demons, tempting us and fighting against us. That's the reality in which we live, spiritually speaking, of visible and invisible. The question in front of us is this: how do we understand and interpret this reality? What does it mean? Are things good? Or are things bad? Scientists, when looking at and evaluating the physical world, often disagree on a question like this. They take what can be seen, they gather the data, and they try to understand it and interpret what it means. And that can be very difficult to do. Sometimes using the same data, scientists can come to radically different conclusions about what they're looking at. The same is true when it comes to the spiritual world. How do we understand, how do we interpret what cannot be seen? Or when something happens that cannot be explained, how do we judge what is happening? Is it good? Is it evil? Is it godly? Is it demonic? Is it neither, just an accident? Perhaps we think we can know, that we can judge and interpret rightly. But can we? And do we? In Genesis 3, we heard about Adam and Eve, who could not interpret things rightly. Even with their perfect minds, even with their minds untainted yet by sin, they got it wrong. As Eve was explaining herself to the Lord, she said, "She was deceived. The serpent deceived me." They made a judgment in the Garden of Eden. They judged that eating the fruit would be good. And you know, based on what they saw, maybe it was. Because we're told that it was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes. That was the visible reality, good to eat. And the serpent is reminding us that it is. But the invisible reality, the spiritual reality, was quite different. And they got that quite wrong. Though it looked good to the eyes, this eating was not good. And it made for a whole lot more not good. Not only were Adam and Eve themselves plunged into sin and death with this eating, but so was every generation born after them, including us. From now on, there would be no peace, but enmity and strife. They got it wrong, and it was a disaster. In the gospel reading today, we hear another thing that was misjudged. Things were happening that could not be explained. Jesus was doing and saying things that could not be explained. So what's going on? How do we understand and interpret what Jesus is doing? That's what the people were wondering. Is this godly? Is it demonic? Is it good? Is it evil? Well, some, seems like many, judged wrongly. Consider what they said about Jesus. He is out of his mind. That's what his family said. Or others, he is possessed by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons. He is casting out demons. What we cannot see, what is behind the things we cannot see, we can see but cannot explain, is not good, they thought. We can see Jesus doing these things, and the way they interpreted it was that he is crazy and he is demon-possessed. It is evil. It is demonic. And they were mistaken. It seems like in our world, many tend to have perhaps the opposite problem. Not so much the problem of something supernatural that is good happening and being misjudged, but rather when things that cannot be explained are happening, the judgment is often made that these things are good, that they are godly and from God. You see it not only in the world, but even among Christians. You don't have to go far to find Christians who say things like they have a message from God, or they have seen a vision from heaven, or they have a divine helping hand revealing things to them. Maybe so, but maybe not. And how do we know if Adam and Eve got it wrong, if the people in Jesus' day got it wrong, how do we know we haven't got it wrong? That what cannot be explained but seems good really is good, or that what cannot be explained but seems bad really is bad? To make it even worse, that's exactly what Satan wants and what he is trying to get you to do. He is trying to get you to interpret things wrongly. To see the good things of God as demonic, like with Jesus, and to see the evil things that Satan is doing, like with Adam and Eve, as good. He wants to confuse you. He wants to deceive you. He has designed your fall. Satan's got plans for us, big plans, and maybe this is how he is doing it. Or at least one of the ways he is doing it. Making us see making what is bad appear to be good and making what is good appear to be bad. And that's how it happened with the people in Jesus' hometown. They got it wrong. They were deceived by the master deceiver. They were deceived because the reality was the exact opposite of what they thought of how they judged. Jesus was teaching them. And they judged him to be demonic. But what was happening was not of Satan. It was not Satan against Satan. In fact, what they were seeing was the very Son of God in human flesh, showing his dominion, his power over the forces of Satan, of evil. He was foreshadowing the great victory that was to come, when he would destroy the power of death and the grave through his own death and resurrection. When it comes to Jesus' death and resurrection, the people got that wrong as well. The disciples saw the cross and Jesus on it, and they thought that it was the greatest evil, the most horrible thing that had ever happened. And yet the reality was the exact opposite. We do not call it horrible or terrible Friday. We call it Good Friday, This is how God was working. It was how he was working his greatest good for the salvation of the world, taking what to human eyes and appearances appears evil, and using it to do his great spiritual work of salvation. This was God fulfilling his word to Adam and Eve when he said that the seed of the woman would come and crush the head of the serpent, even though it looked exactly the opposite. What Jesus was doing was not by possession of the devil. He was binding the forces of evil. He is binding the one who is stronger than us, but not stronger than him. And he is creating for us a new reality, a new family. Not an unclean one with unclean spirits like we received from Adam and Eve, but a new family of those who have been cleansed by water and the word. He's making for us not just a family here below, but a new family born from above by the Spirit, bringing us into a family of faith. Not that it replaces our earthly families, but to give us even more. Our earthly families, our blood ties, our gifts, precious gifts to us from God. They are to be cherished. But even our earthly families do not last forever. You know it. You've been through it. Parents die. Sometimes children die. Families are ripped apart. But the family of faith, the family given to us in Christ, the family that we are brought into through not birth, but new birth in water of holy baptism, that family will not end. That family will last forever. And that family is also a family to be cherished. The family that is thicker than blood, because it is made by water. Of course, what Jesus said here about this new family seemed crazy. More evidence may be that he was out of his mind. You heard it. He said that all these people, everyone who hears the word of God and does his will, they are his brothers and his sisters and his mother. Crazy? No, but in fact, simply expressing a reality that, though it cannot be seen, is nevertheless very real. More real than what we can see with our eyes. For as St. Paul said, so it is. What we cannot see, the unseen, is greater. That is eternal. The things that we can see, our outer nature, this world in which we live, it is wasting away. It is passing. It is here today, but gone tomorrow. Our bodies are getting older. They are wearing out. They are dying. The world is coming apart at the seams. Our culture is tearing itself apart. Kingdoms and nations rise and fall and come and go. History books and cemeteries are good reality checks for anyone who thinks that it is not so. This world is passing away. But we do not lose heart. We do not fear, because there is another reality that we cannot see. We know as Christians that the things we see, they come and go. They will not remain forever, but we believe there is another reality. Another reality not falling apart, not wasting away, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. A reality that is being renewed day by day as we are being prepared for a future that is both glorious and eternal. And yet that brings us back to the question, how do we know? How can we judge? What is real? How do we interpret and understand when our eyes sometimes deceive us, but we cannot see the spiritual realm? How do we judge what we cannot see? How do we get it right? Only by the word of the one who knows. The one who not only sees the visible and invisible, but the one who is the maker of what is visible and invisible. The one who knows more than us and reveals to us what we cannot see and what we do not know. How do we know? We know only by the word of God. Only by the word of God can we sit next to a hospice bed or stand in a cemetery and know that death is not the end. Only by the word of God can we know that the cross is an instrument of God for good. Both the cross of Jesus and the crosses that we must bear. Only by the word of God can we know that the bread and wine upon this altar becomes the body and blood of our Lord. The body and blood of the one who is stronger than Satan and binds him up. The body and blood that is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. You see, the point is this, that it is only by the word of God that we can interpret correctly the things of this world and this life and the things of the next world and the life of that world to come. And we ought to remember that sometimes what the world calls good isn't. We judge on the basis of God's word. And sometimes we should know that what the world calls bad might not actually be bad after all. Consider what St. Paul said about his own sufferings and afflictions, and ours as well. He said that our sufferings here are a slight momentary affliction that is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. When the world suffers, that's not how it describes its suffering. A slight momentary affliction, preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And yet this is what God's word reveals to us. Now, some might scoff. If you're going through a trial and you say this is a slight momentary affliction, your unbelieving family and friends may laugh at you. That's what they did to Jesus. That's okay. We will continue to confess. We will continue to say the same thing as God. What he has told us in his word is true, and we will speak his word and trust when we cannot see. When there is no answer, when we have no answer to what is happening, when we don't understand and can't put the pieces together, when sometimes things remain a mystery to us, we simply come back to God and his word. And we trust what he has revealed to us in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. For this is what we know, that the same Jesus who drove out the demons is driving them out still. This is what we know, that the same Jesus who defeated death by rising from the dead is defeating it still. This is what we know, that the Jesus who forgave sins is still forgiving them today, right here and right now for you. And that the same Jesus who created all things good is working for our good still. And that this Jesus, who also gave you an earthly family, is giving you here a new family, giving himself to you as your older brother, and giving to you here in the church other brothers and sisters as well. We belong to something bigger. Though we cannot see it, we believe that it is so. And St. Paul even tells us that when our earthly home is destroyed, whether that be our bodies or our world, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You cannot see it, but we have it. It is yours. For as we live in Christ, as we live in his house here, not despising his spirit, but washed and fed and absolved by him here, so we will live forever. For the kingdom that will last is not the kingdom of the devil, but it is the kingdom of the one who died and rose again, your brother, who lives and reigns even now for you. And he will raise you as well. He will raise you to life. He will raise you to life with your spiritual family. He will raise you to life with your spiritual family forever. What is seen is passing away, but what is not seen is eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.